Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And this is Rogue Talk for October 20th, 2017. And we've got a great show for you today. Our phone number here in the studio, if you'd like to call into the show, 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. And it's homecoming week at the Rogue River Junior Senior High School. So we've got a special guest for you today that related to homecoming, and that would be the head football coach at the high school, Ryan Riggle. So we're looking forward to talking to Ryan. But before we get to that, let's take a look at some things going on around Rogue River. The Rogue River School Board, in their most recent meeting, have begun taking a look at the idea of year-round school. And as you might imagine, that has raised a few eyebrows. Just watching some of the commenting on social media when this first came up as a possibility, quite a few people that are, you know, intrigued by the idea, but they're, you know, they want to see examples of where it would be most beneficial. A few people even gave some examples, things such as special education students would probably benefit from a year-round school model. And there's lots of different models, so it really depends on what that would look like and how that would work. But there were, of course, a lot of other people that were strongly against it, or at least were leaning strongly against it. And some of the reasons that they gave for their opposition to this such a plan would be childcare issues, summer vacations such as family reunions that would, you know, become more difficult. You know, what kind of conflicts it might have with athletics as well as other extracurricular activities, things like traveling sports teams. You know, I know a lot of the kids that play sports, they play on some travel teams over the summer, whether it be, you know, for basketball or for baseball and softball. So those were some of the big concerns. But I think most people seem to be open to the idea, but they'd like to see some hard information of how it would work within, you know, our system, within our sports programs, within the community, and those kinds of things. So there's a lot of discussion yet to go on this. Time will tell if this idea gains any traction or not. But there'll be a lot of discussion going forward, including right here on Rogue Talk. I'm sure we'll have, you know, at least one show devoted to that, if not more, coming up in the future. But it's just, the talks are just getting underway, so it remains to be seen how this is going to, well, how it's going to be received in the community, what kind of a system that they can, you know, put that's going to fit for our area, because none of the other schools around here are doing that. None of the schools in our sports conferences are doing that. So it would be, there's a lot of hoops to jump through before they can make this happen. But most importantly, the input from, you know, parents and students and other community members are going to probably be the biggest factor in whether or not something like this happens. So those talks are underway. So we'll be looking forward to diving into that a little deeper in a future episode. Another school-related newsworthy event was on Monday. And I'm skipping around in my notes here, so let's see if I can get the right one in front of me here. A delegation of representatives, including some student athletes, the athletic director, the principal, I believe some coaches went along, headed to the OSAA board meeting on Monday. And they went with their with their stories. They went with a stack of letters from parents and other community members, and they were there to appeal the decision to have Rogue River High School playing in a newly formed, another 3A conference, it would be a different conference from the current Southern Cascade. But the school was petitioning to play down in the 2A for the next 3 to 4 years, starting next school year, so 2018, at the start of the school year in 2018. And they were successful in their appeal. The OSAA, the school met the four criteria that are necessary to play down, but unfortunately, we were tardy in getting in some paperwork back in the spring, and so we had to appeal to get consideration to play down next season and for the next couple of seasons. And they, again, the appeal was approved, and the Chieftains will be playing in the 2A Mountain View Conference. And in that conference, joining them also from the Southern Cascade League will be Illinois Valley and Lakeview. And also in that league will be Glide, Butte Falls, Bonanza, Canyonville Christian Academy, and Lost River. So the good news in that is that it'll be a more competitive league for the Rogue River teams to play in. The bad news for those of us that travel to many of these games, I'm including myself, going not only for the sports that my son Cameron plays in, but also for the sports we broadcast right here on 94.3 The Bridge, Lost River makes Lakeview look like a short trip. As most of you know, Lakeview is quite a ways out there, and Lost River being in our conference for next season is an even longer trip. So not looking forward to the long car rides, especially into snow country during the basketball season. But I am looking forward to the student athletes having a better, more competitive league to play in. Neither one of the private schools that kind of dominate the Southern Cascade Conference will be playing in this 2A conference. So it's good news for the Chieftain teams, and going forward, it remains to be seen how that plays out. And in fact, we'll try and talk to Coach Riggle and find out what his thoughts on how the football will fit into that going into next season. So now jumping to another story of local interest, and get my notes shuffled back into place here. last Friday, the school was not in session, but many members of the Rogue River High School were together and involved in a community event. The Project Halt Torch Run was held on last Friday, and it was Project Halt is doing an anti-bullying campaign, and this was a torch relay similar to what you would see when they carry the torch for the Olympics, and it was designed to go from Grants Pass High School to Rogue River High School, then to North Valley High School, then to New Hope, and finally to Hidden Valley High School. And there would be several intervals along the way where the torch would be passed. And that was all good, and it all went off well, and it raised awareness for anti-bullying campaign. But a couple of Rogue River students didn't get the memo on how this whole thing was supposed to work, and it was supposed to be a relay. And those two students were Evan Mingerhausen and Cameron Smith, a couple of teammates. Of course, we know who Cameron being the Rogue Talk mascot. They're also teammates on the cross-country team, and they decided that they wanted to run the whole thing by themselves. So Evan and Cameron took off from Rogue River High School, and about 3 hours and 15 minutes later, covering a little over 18 miles, They arrived at North Valley High School. Both pretty tired, but both were able to finish it running together. And so we want to salute the entire Project Halt relay participants, but in particular, we'd like to salute Evan and Cameron for running that entire about 18.2 miles that they ran. So good job, Evan. Good job, Cameron. We're proud of you for that. So moving on to some Chieftain sports news. Of course, the sports seasons are starting to wrap up. The football with two more games left tonight and a week from tonight. And soccer, both the soccer teams with only one more game remaining. Cross country is done with their season except for their, well, they'll have the district meet and then if anybody makes the state meet. But they're done with their meets leading up to the districts. So the season's starting to wind down, and the one team that is finished is the volleyball team. On Tuesday night, they had senior night, and they hosted Lakeview. And unfortunately, they came up on the losing end, but they really had their best showing, at least for a league contest. They finished the season with four wins, but none of those were league wins. But the Lakeview match was their best showing again in a league match. Those scores from that match, 20 to 25 again, then 25-22. So they won the third set and finally lost 18-25. So a 3-1 loss, but a pretty good showing for a team that had a lot of issues. We had some problems with the coaching staff at the beginning of the season and had to call in some reserves to help out with that. Of course, former Chieftain Courtney Moore jumped in to help out also and became a real steadying influence for that volleyball team. And I look for good things from those ladies heading into next season. And so we had mentioned cross country. They had their last meet before districts, and four Chieftains had their broke their personal records at that last meet. That was the Max King Invitational, and those runners that improved their personal records were Cameron Smith, Evan Mingerhausen, Jonah Maris, and Samantha Peterson, the only female on the Rogue River cross country team. So we want to salute those athletes. And then moving over to soccer, boys soccer with a 2-1 loss at IV last Saturday, and then a 6-0 loss at U.S. Cellular Field against St. Mary's earlier this week. And girls soccer also lost a close one to Illinois Valley. They were hosting Illinois Valley last Saturday. They lost 3-2, so both teams losing by one. And then another lopsided contest against Cascade Christian. They lost 9-0. And so that's it for Rogue River Chieftain Sports. We'll talk about the upcoming schedule at the end of the show. And, of course, the football team winning last week also. But we're going to be talking to the football coach, so we'll take a break here. And we'll be back with Coach Ryan Riggle. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesmaned the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
With SRN Sports, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Yankees win for the third straight day at home, 5-0 over Houston, and move within one victory of their first trip back to the World Series since 2009. Astros starting and losing pitcher Dallas Keuchel says they need to find a way to solve the Yankees after dropping three straight in the Bronx.
Playoff brings a different animal, different challenges, different obstacles you have to overcome, and it just seemed like we didn't make the necessary adjustments these last three games. So we'll look to make some adjustments and figure out what we need to do.
Game 6 in Houston Friday, Justin Verlander for the Astros against Luis Severino for New York. Cubs beat the Dodgers 3-2, keep their playoff hopes alive. Javier Baez with a pair of solo homers for the Cubs. Cubs manager Joe Maddon ejected for the second time in this series. This is SRN Sports. NBA action last night. Indiana beat Brooklyn 141-31, Pacers' highest point total since a 144-point game against Denver back on November 9th, 2010. Orlando beat Miami. Denver 102, Charlotte 90, as the Pistons are playing in their new arena in the downtown area. That's the Little Caesars Arena, a new facility that drew them downtown for the first time in nearly 40 years. Washington beat Philadelphia. Milwaukee beat Boston. Memphis over New Orleans. Atlanta beat Dallas as Dirk Nowitzki joins Kobe Bryant of the Lakers as the only players to reach 20 seasons with the same franchise. Utah Jazz beat Denver 106-96. San Antonio beat Minnesota. It was Houston beating Sacramento and Portland routing Phoenix 124-76, the most lopsided season opening loss in NBA history and the biggest defeat in the Suns' history. This is SRN Sports.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And now joining me in the studio, the head football coach of the Rogue River Chieftains, Ryan Riggle. Ryan, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. And of course, it's homecoming week, so it's a great time to have the football coach in studio. And we've kind of got a unique situation, at least unique for the last several years. We're going to have a winning season this year. No matter what happens these last two games, we're going to end with a winning record. And I think, to me at least, it's kind of the culmination of a building process that really started when you were coaching in middle school, a few years before you started at the high school. Tell me how that process has gone, and do you feel the same way? Are we starting to kind of reap the rewards of the hard work?
That's exactly what it is, and that's one of the things that I've told the guys. Sometimes when you're not having the wins and losses or the wins like you expect, it can sometimes get the guys down. But these young men have continued to persevere. And we've talked about it, and I've explained. Do the work in the off season. Wins come in January. They don't come the week before the game. And these guys have put in the time. They've put in the effort. They've been open and listened and coachable, and all those things have added up to what we're seeing on the field now.
Yeah, and I know a lot of different things that you do in the off season and different people that have helped out definitely contribute to that. I know, a year ago we had, we talked about the big focus with the weight training and you had some help with that. And I know, with a couple of Tambellinis on the team, I know Kim has been really helpful in some of the aspects of conditioning. Talk about what different things you have been doing that really contribute to this uprising of Chieftain football.
It's one of those things. It's kind of everything came together at the right time. I mean, you talk about the coaches we have right now, and Coach Tambellini is indeed one of our coaches. She the amount of time that she invests in these young men is amazing. She's just done a zero period. She has continued that through this season. She did their summer program again this year. And I know it's working. When I hear the kids complaining about the program, you know they're working hard.
Those runs up Manzanita, I know, are particularly helpful.
Yeah, it looks brutal to me. And all the coaches that we have brought in, you know, different aspects to help fine-tune what we do. And then the biggest part of that, though, is the kids investing in it, right? The kids taking the time to show up for workouts, you know, the kids taking the time to show up to non-mandatory practices, things like that, you know, during the summer. All the summer sevens we've done have all added and contributed to what we're seeing now.
Yeah, and I think that adding all those different types of participation is it starts to kind of gel the team as kind of a family and kind of down that same avenue. We've got a lot of family connections on the team, of course, with Derek Nelson playing with his brother last year, or actually the last 2 years until this year. And you've got the Tambellini brothers on the team. You've got the Canoe brothers on the team. Talk about how that the team coming together as a family, not just as actual family members, but as a family, it helps when you're trying to pull all in the same direction.
Yeah, and that's something that we've done a little more emphasis on this year. I mean, we've always talked about, you know, the brotherhood that comes from football, which is, you know, I mean, I love all sports, and I think all sports are helpful for the development of young people, but football specifically, everybody on the field has to perform, you know. And so if you're doing it for yourself, you tend not to perform, you know. You don't give as much when you're doing it for yourself, but when you're doing it for the guy across from you, the guy next to you, you're willing to push yourself harder. And we focused on that. Coach Sean Smith has joined us this year. He does a lot of this stuff in his classroom, and so he brought some experience as far as to help really bring out the discussion about it. And we've actually had a ton of meetings this year. You know, we've actually probably played less football throughout the season and done more time, you know, talking about who we are as people and who we are as you know, as a team and brotherhood.
And now, as we know, this season, more than any other, we've played a lot of eight-man football. And, in fact, our only loss this season was in an 11-man game with Gold Beach, although I don't know that I would attribute that so much to playing 11-man versus eight-man, is that Gold Beach just has a solid program, and we kind of got knocked on our heels early and just never recovered. But all in all, it's been a lot of adjustments, I think, for the kids in playing style, because even in middle school, we were playing 11-man football. So how has the switch to 8-man not only helped in our success, but what kind of challenges did it send to the team, too?
Well, you know, in my opinion, I'm a big fan of 8-man, and the reason why is, you know, well, I played 8-man growing up, and I went from 8 to 11 when I went to college, and it was actually a simpler game as far as things slowed down, right? More people on the field, the game became slower. And so, you know, a lot of the emphasis that we've done this year is, you know, we've done a ton on tackling, because the open field tackling is so much more important when you're talking.
Yeah, you don't have two guys behind you to help you a lot of times. You're one-on-one, and you got to make that tackle. Otherwise, who knows?
Yeah, coverages as well. It just changes, you know, the amount of people you have around to help you. The coverages become more simple. So it actually challenges people more. But, and, you know, when we do our summer sevens, we do all that 11-man style, and then we bring it back and have to make the adjustments. Luckily, the kids at this point, you know, they've been playing, for the most part, have all been playing football long enough that they have a great knowledge and understanding of the game, and so the transition isn't as difficult. Even the transitions we made during the season, which, you know, a couple years ago when we did it, it was very difficult, you know, and the product on the field was hurt drastically, but from going from 11 to A when we played Riddle a few years ago. But now that they're older, their understanding is higher, it's been easier to make those switch for the few 11-man games that we have had.
Yeah, and I think one advantage to switching to 8-man, at least for this season, is the lack of size. We lost a couple of seniors last year that provided some pretty good size, and really not just size, but size and athleticism on the line. And so with what I see, at least, as a smaller team, the eight-man game probably helps us out a little bit in that respect, that the lack of size or the loss of some size on the line, is not as – doesn't look as bad in the eight-man game because you don't need as much size. Do you see it that way too?
Partially. But I will also always trade size for technique and speed. Even on the line, offensive lineman who's 300 pound but can't get in a good stance and can't stay low is not going to be as effective as a 150, 60-pound young man who's, first of all, strong because he's been lifting weights, but who has good technique and good form, is, in my opinion, able to do just as much, if not more. Especially, some of our blocking schemes have changed with the change in personnel. Coach McCormick has done a fantastic job of designing blocking schemes to really utilize what we have, and it shows.
Yeah, well, and a perfect example of what you're talking about would be Bill McVay. Kid lives for football, and he's played line his whole career, really. But he's not a big kid by any stretch, but he gets it done, and I think that's attributes to what you're talking about as far as, technique and all that, and he's been well coached. I mean, it's nice to have those kind of kids that have been in your program from middle school all the way until now. But then when we talk about size, also on the line, one of the few seniors on the team, Gabe Ishidi, and he's shown probably more athleticism than I would have expected. I remember watching him play middle school basketball, and his athleticism always surprises me. Is it nice to have that kind of senior leadership on the team?
Yeah, it definitely is. And this is one of those kids who made an effort, realized where he could improve, and he did things. He ran track, and you could just see the speed that increased. He spent time in the weight room, and then of course we do a lot of agility stuff, and he's always been pushing the limits in places where maybe he was less talented, and you can see where it's caught up. And then anybody who's willing to do that, is setting a good example for all the people around him, and that's the as far as my preference in leadership, that's what I want to see, is guys, leading by example first.
Yeah, and it's fun to watch him in those short yarded situations when we get him out there as a fullback or a halfback and give him the ball and let him run a couple of guys over. But speaking of running guys over, we've got a couple of standouts on the offensive side, and actually they're standouts on both sides of the ball. But speaking about the offensive side, Jacob Tambellini and Ethan Canoe, these guys are running people over this year, and it's fun to watch from the booth, but how is it as a coach to see the improvements that these two guys have made?
It's the confidence, especially with Ethan. He sometimes he doesn't realize how big and strong he is, and it's amazing because you can pick him out of the lineup. He's the first one your eyes are drawn to just because of his sheer size and strength. But he's starting to gain that confidence that he had a little bit of it as a freshman, kind of took a step back, I felt like, as a sophomore, but now as a junior, he's really coming into his own, and it definitely shows on the defensive side of the ball as kids are flying around after the bouncing off of him. and then Tambellini, I'll tell you what, I've never met anybody who works as hard as him, his is all earned. Every bit of that is time that he's worked and spent in the weight room, in other sports. Everything he does it to the best of his ability, and he pushes the envelope all the time, and that's what you get. When you work hard, it will catch up to you.
Yeah, definitely so. And I still is burned in my memory. I don't even remember which game it was. I'd have to look back in my stats there. But with Ethan Canoe catching a pass and taking it, I don't even know. It must have been a 70-yard pass play. I probably have it written down somewhere. But he started the the catch immediately stiff-arming one guy and getting rid of him, and the next guy got to him, and he stiff-armed him for about 50 yards down the field, and it's just impressive, his strength. But it was interesting, because at the last home game, we came down on the field, as we generally do, to get starters from you and mm-hmm. to kind of talk to the coaches a little bit, and he was wearing a dark visor in his helmet, and one of the coaches even remarked it, you know, he's on my team, and that kid scares me.
Yeah.
So he's quite the imposing presence. And the nice thing for us is, at least, is that he's only a junior, so yep. he's got one more year to run a few more guys over. So while we're talking about the offense, of course, we can't ignore Derek Nelson. Kind of the leader of the team, at least from my perspective up in the booth. He's kind of the heart and soul of the team. You know, obviously plays a lot of quarterback, but he's also in there as a linebacker and definitely gets guys fired up. In fact, he made the trip with the different representatives from the school for the OSAA to talk about the classifications. Yep. But tell us how his leadership helps this team.
You know, he's one of those, we have a bunch of different leadership styles, and, you know, every year I have captains apply, you know, for their positions, and of course he's applied for it and has earned it, but the type of leadership he has is really unique to him. You know, there's military types, there's soft-spoken types, and he's like a good mixture of both. You know, he directs people, but yet it's still in a way of not raising himself above, and I think that helps a ton. Plus, you know, when he's putting up just as much work as anybody else, you know, and they see that, and then he asks them to do something, you know, they're more likely to do it because of it.
Yeah, and I would liken him to, at least in the professional game, he reminds me a lot of Derek Carr. He's a guy that isn't blessed with a ton of speed, crazy amounts of athletic ability, but not, you know, not pure speed, not pure power, but he's a very powerful runner. But what I've noticed this season with him is his cutback ability, and almost to a fault. In fact, last game, I get to stand a lot of times with his dad, who's one of the coaches also, and so I kind of get some of the stuff on the inside of what's yeah. going on. And he made one cutback in last week's game where everybody, all of us up in the booth, the two coaches and the announcer and the young man running the camera, and we all were like, oh, if he'd kept going toward the sideline, I think he could have scored on that play. But he's really, his cutback ability has been really on display this season. Is that something he's worked on, or is that just something that comes naturally?
Well, first I got to tell you, he'd prefer to be compared to the Green Bay quarterback.
I'm sure he would.
Now, this is one of those things that is more natural to him. You know, for a while I had him play fullback. I've had him play multiple different positions, and the guy loves contact, so he's not afraid to turn it in the middle. He'll find a small seam if he thinks he's got an advantage, and he'll always take it. You know, with the veer we run, and that's the part of it is the coaching on the quarterbacks on how we run the veer. And part of that is we don't necessarily want them to go outside all the time. And the reason why is because if he's going upfield, we're taking what the defense will give us, but it'll also force the linebackers to slow down, to stop their momentum. That way, when he does do the final pitch, the linebackers don't have the angles to catch the tailback, and so part of that is coaching, part of it's, you know, natural vision that he's continued to gain through experience, and then part of that's just him wanting to run somebody over.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but there's been a few times this season where he'll hold that ball so long before he finally makes the pitch, and it's cost us a couple of turnovers. But does your heart stop the way mine does when he makes that late pitch?
Yeah, it's amazing. We continue to do it because it doesn't. Every time the ball's in the air, I'm thinking, oh boy, this could end poorly or end well.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess another person we haven't talked about. Well, let's go back to the brothers. Aiden Canoe has really come on strong this year as a receiver, well, as a defender too, but as a receiver. What would you attribute to his kind of what at least, again, I speak from the perspective of mostly a fan. I mean, I'm calling the games from the booth, but I'm not down on the field kind of hearing all the things going on. But to me, he's really made a huge step forward this year. What do you attribute that to?
You know, there's a few things. We have a receiver, somebody who's helping us with the receivers, Jack Cosgrove, who's, you know, he came in with a slight change in, it was a significant change in the passing tree that we use on how routes are run, and kind of worked with him and all of our receivers. But those little things make a huge difference, you know, and it's something that the rest of the coaches knew that potentially we needed to expand our ability to pass, and we knew it was coming as our skilled players got a little bit older, and so it was a great fit to have that extra help with the receiving game, and he's one of the most exact runners as far as routes go, which makes a huge difference. And then of course he's got the canoe hands and can catch just about anything, you know, that and you know, it's so funny because those two brothers are so polar opposites. You know, it's he's got some confidence, but I appreciate that, right? He's not afraid of anything. He's never been afraid of, you know, it doesn't matter who's across from him. He's going to step up and rise to the occasion, and he's continued to show that on and off the field, and it's great to have that kind of strength.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and his route running is very precise, and he's, again, this team, it, unlike a couple of the past teams, not a ton of team speed. I mean, there's guys that can beat guys, but there's not just that standout speed where a guy will just run away from someone, and maybe the only exception to that might be Carson Smith. But the route running, I think, has been better. Time and time again, we're seeing the receivers able to get behind the defender, and of course, that's in the 8-man game, especially a lot of 1-on-1 situations. And on the other side of the ball, we're not letting receivers get behind us, which was really an Achilles heel, I think, last season, especially in the games we played 8-man. So have you seen the same thing? Have you seen a big improvement, not only in the secondary on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, you know, and all that, in my opinion, all that has started with summer sevens. I mean, we've gone against all the big schools around here, and it, you know, it challenges us, and so guys start to figure it out. They start to learn. Plus, you know, when they're listening to the coachings and they're doing the things that they're told and coached to do, and they're starting to have a little bit of success, especially, you know, when we go against a school that you know, a 6A school, and we're able to move the ball a little bit, that starts to build some confidence, and then they say, oh, it does work if I do it that way, and so that reinforces, you know, their coachability, and then of course this is what we end up with, is well-coached kids who do things the way that they should, and then it starts to show.
Yeah, and so I mentioned the brothers. The other brother, of course, we haven't talked about yet is Gabe Tambellini, and we had kind of a fun moment. In fact, at the Gold Beach game, I got a chance to talk to his mom before the game, and she kind of mentioned kind of a funny moment from the previous broadcast where I had mentioned I can always spot Gabe on the field if there's a controversial call, because his hands will be in the air questioning the call. But what that really tells me is he's an emotional player. He's into the game, and of course he's got a ton of athletic ability too. Tell us how the progression has gone for Gabe Tambellini.
Here's what I'm gonna say about Gabe. So when I first took over the head coaching role, I think it was an eighth grader, and we were doing our summer workouts, and I've always encouraged the middle school to show up for those, and so it was my first day. You know, we had some seniors there. We had, you know, mix of everybody, and I said, all right, we're going to start with some warm-ups. I said, you know, the guys who have been with me before, you guys know how it's done, let's get it done, and he was the first one to jump up to lead a line. It was like, that's who he is. You know, he's not afraid of anything. He's confident in who he is and what he does, and it shows. And then, you know, the time, you know, he's a Tambellini, so he, you know, is one of those guys who's outworking everybody, and those things catch up. You know, those things show in his ability. I mean, I can literally put him anywhere on the field. He's going to give everything he's got, and you can always depend on that.
Yeah, and we've seen you put him in a few places. Yeah. So yeah, he definitely has stepped up. But he's a guy too, I think, that I noticed from playing basketball with my son. He's a guy that'll stand up for his teammates too, and that's something you know that you got to have. Yep. Sometimes he may take it a step too far, but that's to be expected too.
We have a few guys who will take it a step too far, but it's one of those. It's a fine line, you know, because we do want them standing up for each other, you know, on and off the field, and looking out for each other, and that's the team mentality, and that's that meshing of the team that you see is because of that personality, and that's what we need.
Yeah, and of course we did have a couple of ejections from one game, and they had to sit out a game, and of course we talk about it on the broadcast. We don't want to embarrass any of the kids or anything like that, but it is something that it does happen in sports. And I mean, football's a tough sport, but I think it's a good opportunity for growth also. You know, when I was coaching middle school, I made it pretty clear to my players that I'm going to do things that is not okay for you to do, and that you may or may not agree with that, but I told my players, I'll deal with the referees. You play the game. You deal with your job on the floor. But you don't mind once in a while when a kid stands up for his team. And, you know, it sometimes it gets them into trouble, and that's going to happen. But I think all in all, it becomes a great learning experience for them. So we've talked about playing 8-man football. We talked about playing 11-man. Heading into next season, we know we talked about Derek being one of the students that went to the OSAA meeting, and we're going to be in a new league next year. Where does the football team stand in that respect? Are we going to be playing in that league for football, or is that going to be something that's still up in the air?
I haven't had a ton of time to think about it, just because I got a couple more games left, and we got to focus on those. First of all, I do want to say that the OSA, I'm appreciative of them for making the decision that they made, because it's absolutely the right decision to put us in the league that they put us in, and it's a good fit, you know, across the board to be in that league. The teams we're going to be playing in every sport are going to be closer related to what we have available as well. So I definitely appreciate that decision that they came to move us into that league. What football, you know, where we're headed with football, that'll be ultimately something that the athletic director will decide. I'm sure we'll have a discussion about it, after the season, when we have a little bit of time to sit down and talk about it. You know, football's a kind of a funny sport. I mean, it's true in every sport. You know, the more you play, the better off you are. But football's different. You know, football, if you want a good team, you have to have 4 years of participation. It's so technical. You know, the small things just matter. And as you've seen, those guys who have stuck with it, has their technique, as their strength, as it's all come together, is what you have, this year. It's one of those things that we can look into the future and we can see, because we have to have the freshmen that are here this year. We need them for 4 years, right?
Right.
So we can kind of determine, you know, what a team's going to look like depending on the commitment that we have. And, you know, some of the people, you know, I hear a lot of rumors as far as, you know, a bunch of people wanting to join. But somebody who comes out as a junior and senior still isn't going to be quite as ready to go as somebody who's played for the 4 years, and it makes a huge difference. And so this will be one of those decisions that Mr. Moses gets to make, but we'll have a discussion. We'll look over our roster. We'll talk about what we see and what the future looks like, and ultimately what's best for the young men playing football at Rogue River.
Sure, and I was reading in the paper this week that they're more or less insisting that we're going to play 11-man if we play in this new league that they've put us into, and that's going to have to enter into that decision, I would imagine, because if we just don't have the numbers to support an 11-man game, we're most likely going to end up having to play independent again. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we have to, like you said, we've got to put the kids in a position where not only they're going to be successful, but where they're, you know, not going to be overworked and be more prone to injuries and those kinds of things.
Yeah, and really, I mean, if you look at, and I've done a lot of research, you know, across the board as far as just what other schools are doing. And you need, in my opinion, you need at least 30 guys on a football team spread throughout freshman to senior, and you need that consistently to run a successful 11-man program. One of the biggest absences that we have right now in the football program is a lack of a JV program. Originally, I had planned to have one this year because I thought, you know, there were some freshmen and sophomores that were going to come out, ultimately didn't come out, which then made it, you know, almost impossible to have a JV program. But when you're talking about, you know, long-term pitcher, the development of a freshman and a sophomore, we need them to be playing some football. You know, we do the best we can to get them in on the field as much as possible, but at the same time, I mean, they need to go against competition equal to them. They need to be focused on them, and they need that opportunity to grow, to have that growth. And that's one of those things that we've been missing. And to me, the first priority is to figure out how we can do that, because that to me is what the biggest lack in the football program currently.
Yeah, and we've been fortunate this season with, you know, by the time we get to the fourth quarter this season, where last season a lot of times our first score of the game was in the fourth quarter, which was something I gave the team a lot of credit for throughout the season, was that there was no quit in that team. They would keep fighting and keep fighting even if they didn't score until the fourth, and we're kind of on the other side of that this year, where we're going into the fourth quarter with some pretty comfortable leads, which has probably helped you give you more opportunities to get some of the younger players into the game, and we've noticed it, you know, seeing a lot more of the younger guys getting more reps in that fourth quarter, and that'll help going forward too, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, and that's definitely a start. You know, the first play you ever get as on a varsity game is important. The more reps you get, the better off you are. I mean, the a lot of the success we have now is because we have guys who have been playing at a varsity level for 3-4 years. Part of that, it was out of necessity. Part of that was without a JV program, but they've persevered and made it through it. But now they're reaping the rewards of that hard work and dedication.
Sure, absolutely. So we're going to run out of time, but first of all, I wanted to thank you for coming in today, and we always love talking about the football program, but so it's homecoming week, and of course the parade was today, and game time tonight. I'm guessing, because it's senior night and homecoming, that the halftime may be a little extended. How do you keep your players' heads in the game when you have those situations like tonight?
That's you know, the maturity of these young men is amazing. We've had distraction after distraction every week. There's been something that's been a distraction every week. They've risen above it the way that you would expect. You know, the maturity beyond their years to persevere and to refocus has been there. You know, my hope is that it will continue to be there this week. And again, I never look past Riddle. They're well well coached, well disciplined. They know who they are. They've got their identity, and they do it well. So it'll be a battle out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we look forward to it, and I'll be up in the booth. We'll be on the air at 6:50, kickoff at 7 o'clock. I would encourage everybody to get out to Chieftain Stadium and support the Chieftains, especially for homecoming night. But this team is fun to watch, so get out there. But if you can't make it, we'll have it on the air, 94.3 or 943thebridge.com. And one thing I forget to mention sometimes is we are also on the TuneIn app. So if you have the TuneIn app on your phone, you listen to a lot of programs, games or other stuff, you can search the 94.3 The Bridge, and we are on the TuneIn app. So once again, Coach Riggle, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
And we'll take a break here and be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The U.S. government is urging that large personal electronic devices like laptops be banned from airline checked luggage because of the potential for a catastrophic fire. The Federal Aviation Administration is telling the United Nations its tests show that when lithium-ion batteries used in the devices overheat in close proximity to an aerosol spray, they can cause explosions capable of disabling an airliner's fire suppression system. Stitch Fix, an online clothing styling service, has filed to go public. It is one of several companies that sends shoppers clothing to try on at home before they buy. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average edged up 5 points. With business, I'm Dennis Crum.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And I want to thank Coach Riggle once again for coming in today. Looking forward to tonight's game. Of course, it's homecoming night and senior night, and it's going to be should be a fun night out at the stadium. Hopefully the weather holds off. It was been pretty rainy all day, as most of you know, but kind of slowed down this afternoon, so hopefully we can get through the night without a ton of rain, because for those of you familiar with our football program, you know Chieftain Stadium does not hold up well to the weather, at least the playing surface. The middle of the field will quickly turn into a mud bog, and so hopefully the playing conditions will be pretty good tonight, the last home game of the year. And so the weather's definitely been played in our favor this season. It's been good up until today, and hopefully this rain wasn't enough to make it too sloppy. But let's take a look at some of the upcoming sports before we run out of time here. Girls soccer will play their last game of the season. That'll be tomorrow. They'll be hosting St. Mary's. That'll be at 10 a.m., and that'll be over at Beck Field. And the Chieftain boys will also play tomorrow. They'll also be hosting a game against Lakeview. That'll be at 1 o'clock, also at Beck Field. So if you're a big soccer fan, you can head out at 10 a.m. and watch the girls and then the boys. So lots of soccer action going on. And then Monday, the boys will finish their season. They will play a home game on the road. They will travel to U.S. Cellular Field at 4 o'clock on Monday to take on St. Mary's once again. And that was a game I believe got rescheduled a couple of times and never got played due to some scheduling problems with the referees and some other stuff. So it's going to be played at U.S. Cellular. It is a home game for the Chieftains, but playing it on the road. And finally, of course, as we've been talking about, homecoming tonight, Chieftain football will be on the air here on 94.3 The Bridge at 6:50, kickoff at 7 o'clock, and there's also the tailgate party that goes along with the homecoming festivities. That'll start at 5 o'clock, so if you want to get out there and tailgate with the Chieftains, that'll be at 5 o'clock. Of course, earlier today there was the parade. I didn't attend that, but it's always a good time, always a fun way to kick off the homecoming festivities, and of course the dance will be tomorrow night. So that's all we've got for you on the Chieftain sports. And while we got just a little bit of time left, I know that the one news item we talked about earlier, the potential of going to a year-round school setup, we will definitely have some upcoming shows to talk about that. I would imagine probably get Rob Heilman in here again. I haven't talked to him yet, but, of course being on the school board, and this is kind of his idea to bring this up at the last school board meeting. So I would imagine we'll probably line up an interview with him, but we'll definitely be talking about it. There's a lot of opinions on both sides of it, and it's already starting to pick up some pace on Facebook. So I'm sure the discussion will get more and more hot and heavy and heated, and hopefully we start getting some of the more solid information from other places where they do this to see how it's working and see if it's really making the difference that they say it would make. And so I look forward to that that kind of discussion going on. And I look forward to seeing you tonight. I hope you all come out to the game. But if you can't listen, or if you can't get out to Chieftain Stadium, listen again right here on 94.3 The Bridge. And we will be back next week. So until then, be good to one another, because Road Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.